All right, ladies, buckle up.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Matinee Talk. This is episode 56. I am your co-host, Julian Owens, and with me, as always,
Johnny Lightfoot.
Johnny, how are you doing on the week of your birthday? How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I am loving this weather.
Yes.
Yes.
I completely agree. It's getting to the point where it's not too cold, but it's cold enough, and I love
it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to spending my birthday out at a state park.
Nice. I will be spending majority of your birthday weekend, unfortunately, moving and packing. So that's what my weekend will suffice of.
And I've already got the tree put up and the lights and everything, so
it looks really nice in here.
Yeah, I am in the holiday spirit, and we're gonna do some stuff holiday related moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. Moving forward, we're gonna just start doing holiday things, just because, as we all know, there's not a lot of movies going on right now. So for about now until the end of the year, we're gonna do some holiday movies, but for now we're going to do something a little different today.
Yeah.
First, we're going to basically talk about, you know, I just want to have early questions, early impression questions.
Okay.
Johnny was one of the lucky few of us who have got both the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. So, early impression for both of them. What do you think?
They're, like, blazing fast.
Okay.
So, I don't think the graphics are necessarily
that much
greater,
better?
Yeah, okay. Than the previous generation, but I do think, like, the speeds, the refresh rate is insane. Okay. I think Miles Morales so far has been so amazing. I haven't really gotten to dig into 2K, but that's my next thing.
Okay. I was told that Miles Morales looks really good, and I have to see actual gameplay. I don't want to be seeing
computer. And I haven't jumped into the remastered yet.
Okay.
But I am looking forward to that, because apparently, like, the save transfers do come over to the remastered.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So I do have a hard drive hooked up, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Okay. All right. I see you, Johnny. Okay. And so what about the Series X? Have you played anything on the Series X, or is that where 2K
No, I got Valhalla loaded up, but that's about it.
Okay. All right.
Perfect. No, the PlayStation controller alone, I'm just like, this is such a huge improvement that it makes me like, oh, maybe I start buying more stuff on PlayStation instead.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay.
I have definitely been more of an Xbox person.
I was telling this to my girlfriend, like, this will be probably the first generation that I don't buy an Xbox first. This will probably be the first generation.
I will say, though, like, the freaking thing is huge. I have to have it behind my TV.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's not even in my TV stand.
I was looking and I didn't see it.
Yeah, no. It is massive.
Okay.
Yeah, damn. The PlayStation is massive.
Okay.
But what we're talking about today.
Yes, let's get on.
Because we're talking about gaming and we're moving into a new generation of consoles, is gaming movies, video game movies.
Yes.
And the history of them. And what has come before, what's here now, how much better they've gotten over the last 30 years.
I agree. So,
because you think about the very first one was Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that was the first one.
It was awful. And I saw it in theaters, and I'm sad to say it was the same year I saw Jurassic Park in theaters.
Oh,
so
God.
It's crazy that I saw such an awful movie along with the most magical, like, movie experience of my life, where I got to really understand the theatrical experience was Jurassic Park. And the fact that I also saw Super Mario Brothers in the same summer is crazy to me.
And I have a theory. Just because the movie's been out for that long, and it's a little older than me, I want to bring out a theory. Do you honestly think that, was it New Line who released Super Mario Brothers? I believe it was New Line. It had to be either New Line or somebody independent.
One so it was actually Buena Vista.
Oh,
so
my Disney. God. Disney? So
it was Disney.
So
yes.
My point. So yes. Bringing back my point. So do you think, which I think is obviously very, very funny, because during the beginning of the middle of 93, you had Jurassic Park. And then mm-hmm. towards the end of 93, you had Super Mario Brothers. Yep. And that other, and I hate to say it as much as I liked that movie when I was growing up, the god-awful We're Back Dinosaur movies. Do you think that they were trying to cash grab what Steven Spielberg were doing? No,
exactly. That's exactly what they were doing. And they were, you know, reinventing a established property.
Yeah.
And that property was already well done. Like, you could have just held on to that. And they instead tried to do something completely different and just made it just batshit crazy.
And you know what's so crazy? And I hate to say this in on Mad Nate Talk right now. I watched that tape.
I want to go revisit it.
No, I recommend you don't. No? Okay. So I was just going to say, I hate saying this on Mad Nate Talk. So like, one of the very first VHS tapes that we got from Blockbuster that we bought, like my mom let us go pick out, and she let us, like at the time Blockbuster let us start buying movies too. Mm. We bought Super Mario Brothers, and that was like the very, was one of our very first ones we watched. So then I decided about towards the beginning of the pandemic, I said, well, I'm going to be stuck at home. Let's start with terrible movies so I don't get burnt out of all the good movies. Jesus. I tried. Johnny, I honestly tried watching Super Mario Brothers earlier this year.
And it's crazy the talent that's involved with that.
And it's so bad.
Yes.
It's so bad.
And it's like, that casting sounds
really good.
In theory, really, really good.
Yes.
But you just completely mismanaged.
And
I King Koopa and Princess Peach, and then you try to do this whole like, oh yeah, they're plumbers in the real world, but then there's this dinosaur world, and so it just doesn't make sense.
And what pissed me off so much about the movie, and this is one thing that I couldn't get over me, was the fact that, yeah, King Koopa's Bowser, we get that. How they did Yoshi, that's not what I'm pissed about. Mm. It's the fact that both of these dudes are supposed to be really great at jumping. They're
and they use those little things yes, on their legs.
Yes.
And it's so
silly.
It's just silly. And you're like,
where did this come from?
And even when I was a kid, my grandma bought me the action figures, and I was like, why do they have these mechanical things on their legs? Like Mario Luigi, like why?
It doesn't make sense.
No.
And them sliding on the mattresses with all the other princesses in the pipes. I'm just like,
Jesus. And the Koopa Troopers. The Koopa Troopers with the like
the
mini
suits and
everything. The mini heads. Like, it's so terrible. And like, I don't want to spend any more time on this awfulness because we need to continue on to more awfulness, but we're going to continue on to Double Dragon. Do you remember that at all?
I never watched Double Dragon.
No?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never watched it.
I had the action figures. I had everything, but also just completely terrible. We move on to Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's not bad. It's not the word I would use.
Julia as M. Bison is like hilariously amazing.
Yes. It's not. That's what I mean by like, the movie
Julia is.
Like, not a lot of the movie, you could sit there and be like, seriously? Mm-hmm. But when you look at it and when you watch Street Fighter, I rewatched it like a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. It's not as bad as I thought it was when I was growing up. No. Jean-Claude and Julia, and I forgot who was the big bad. I forgot his name.
Raul Julia is M. Bison.
Yeah, there you go. My bad.
Like, but genuinely doing like a really inspired performance.
Right. And what very interesting to me is, like, even though you get the Jean-Claude tropes in this film, it's it does enough to keep the lore of Street Fighter going. And another movie we're going to talk about in just a moment, it does it well enough where it's not like, wow, this is terrible, but it's wild, like, okay, I could put this on, turn my brain off and watch it, like Transformers.
And I think if the movie we're about to talk about hadn't come out like a year later, then we would be talking about Street Fighter more. We would be talking more greatly about it. We would be saying, like, Street Fighter used to be the best video game movie. Yes. But there's a movie that came out a year later.
And what's crazy, really quick before we even talk about that movie, what's even crazier is the fact that my cousin brought both of the VHSs and DVDs. And we watched them. And I hate to say it, I didn't know which one was first. And then when I watched the one we're about to talk about, I was like, wow, this one's way better than Street Fighter. Yes. I don't get it. And like you said, if the movie we talked about never came out, I honestly do think Street Fighter was the best 90s.
Until the last year.
Right. I would agree. I would concur. But unfortunately, the movie that came out in 95, which is, again, my favorite video game movie for a very long time.
And I did a rewatch on this like a few months ago with my girlfriend because we were talking about playing Mortal Kombat when we were kids. Damn. And then I was like, you've never seen Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat!
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, all of that. Yes. Like, this was the first CD I ever owned was the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. Yes. Wow. When I was in, like, I don't know, like fifth grade.
Okay. All right.
Yes. The Mortal Kombat soundtrack. Okay. And just listening to that on your Sony Walkman, it was like.
Yes. Oh my God.
And it's so good.
It's cheesy, but so damn good at doing the cheesy parts.
And I'm trying to look it up now, but the guy who plays Shang Tsung.
Your soul is mine.
Yes.
Does so damn good. And, like, his performance alone is the reason why they put him back in Mortal Kombat XL this last year. Like, I hate to say it. Like, this movie was so damn entertaining. And to give you full story, my cousin bought both of the VHSs for New Year's Eve of, like, 2003, 2004. And we're like, wow, I haven't watched that since I was a kid. We rewatched it. And again, I'm thinking Street Fighter was the older movie. I was like, wow, look at Street Fighter trying to take on what happened to Mortal Kombat. No. And it's the inverse.
Exactly. And then you have Christopher Lambert just being, like, so serious but hilarious at the same time. The way he, like, delivers lines where he's just like, yes. But... yes, and then you had Robin Hsu as Liu Kang.
Which I didn't...
And I thought he was phenomenal. He looked just like him.
Literally, in the games that I had to sneak in around my mom, you sit there and you look at him and you're like, I don't know whose idea was it, but you literally said, okay, we're going to find the closest thing to Liu Kang and put him in there. And he looks really good as Liu Kang.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, like, part of my video game influence and... just to go on a personal level, like, my father is currently fighting terminal brain cancer, but he was my introduction to video games. And it was some of my earliest memories of video games were playing NES with him. And then later on, like, the reason I switched to Sega Genesis was Mortal Kombat 2.
Because it was the only one that was on.
It had the blood and everything.
Yeah.
And like Liu Kang. And then Robin Hsu just completely embodied that whole, like, crazy version of Bruce Lee.
And it was very entertaining. Now, the only knock I had for Mortal Kombat was who's old dude's name who plays as Raiden? I forgot who the character who plays as
Christopher
Raiden.
Lambert. Christopher, him just being so serious.
But his seriousness, if I remember correctly, like I said, I haven't watched it in over 2 years.
He's from Highlander, and right? Just him being like,
And it's like you can get the cheesiness that's coming from Raiden, but mm-hmm. you know, watching the games and playing the stories of all the games since like Armageddon version of Mortal Kombat for me, because that's when mm-hmm. I was able to buy them. I was just like,
but yeah, I mean, just to put it to rest, like Shang Tsung is like Cary Hiroyuki Tagawa, like. His performance as Shang Tsung is
the highlight of the movie.
It's the most absolutely memorable. Highlight. Because, yeah, like the whole stuff with him like pointing at the screen and being like,
with this angriest face.
Yeah, and just, your soul is mine.
And you're just sitting there just like, wow. Okay. All right. I love this.
And then we fast forward to 1997 with Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Can we forget that movie?
We can spend like 30 seconds just talking about how awful it is and how they specifically, like, I believe, killed off the guy who played Johnny Cage simply because the actor didn't want to reprise his role.
He didn't want to reprise his role, right.
So they were like, okay, we're just going to kill that. We're going to
first 10 minutes?
Yep.
This is like that 10 minutes of the movie? Yeah. Yeah.
And then you bring in this guy and it's... he's so hilarious.
You're talking about the dude who plays as Jax?
No, not him. The guy who plays the new big bad.
Oh, okay.
With the skull mask.
The skull mask, yes. Who's supposed to be Khan, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And just his overacting. And then you bring in the animalities, they were just so cheesy. And like you're like, this is like... Power Rangers level CGI, but at least like, and I'm a Power Rangers fan, at least I can forgive that because
it's a TV show.
Yeah, but it's like, this was allowed in a movie
and
with
let's
budget
and let's not even forget, not even just that, but the fact that like at the end of the movie when Liu Kang becomes the dragon,
it almost looks like claymation.
Yes,
but it's CG, and you're yes. like. Wait a second. What the hell?
And speaking of Power Rangers, 2 years prior, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Granted, I watched that this quarantine, and I'm like,
and the special Megazord effects looks horrible. Like I would rather the guy in the box suit. Yeah, I'd rather that.
But what's crazier is the CGI. I can see it now. Better. That CGI from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie looks way better than the shit we saw in Annihilation. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what the fuck happened? Like, you've made a competent movie 2 years prior. Yep. Like, New Line, what are you doing?
Well, so New Line did the first one. 20th Century Fox did the...
They did? Sequel. I thought they also did Annihilation. Nope.
Yep. I'm staring at it right now. But then we move on and we have Wing Commander, which I don't think anybody remembers that. And then we've got Lara Croft Tomb Raider. So we start getting into video game movies that are trying to be more serious.
Yeah.
And you put a bona fide movie star as your lead role, whereas like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, you were still treating it as a B movie, but yes. With Tomb Raider,
they try to make it an A movie.
You're like, hey, this is going to be blockbuster.
Can I say something about...
And it made almost $275 million.
I went to the theaters, and my mom, like my aunt, took us to go see Lara Croft in the movie theaters. And then we couldn't watch it again. We couldn't watch Cradle of Life again because my mom realized what we were watching when we went to go see it.
Was it because of Angelina?
Yeah.
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 Because at that time, for anybody not knowing, not living in that time frame,
yeah.
Like Angelina in the mid to late 90s, like she was it for everybody. So, of course, in this movie, they put her front and center, and it was less about the story
of Lara Croft,
and the video game and where the roots had come from, and it was more about let's focus on
Angelina Jolie and her body. Like, exactly like, why my mom didn't want
it. Like, let's do as many, like, ridiculous shots of her just so we can like try to give eye
all
candy.
The boys
and it was
exactly.
Yeah, and it was ridiculous, and it was like, now looking back, I'm like, how were you allowed to do this? Like, it is so ridiculous. Yeah.
And I will say this, though. As somebody who watched the movie, and I can't watch it again. But only because...
But being a kid.
Right. It was cool. Like, especially the scenes where she's in a mansion and all the dudes are coming in trying to infiltrate her mansion and she's killing them off mm-hmm. with her dual pistols.
Yeah. You had cool action.
Right.
But...
The story didn't go anywhere.
When you see it as an adult, you're like... Oh, the filmmakers were really trying to accentuate the fact that, like, oh, look at Angelina's body.
Exactly.
And that's what was wrong, but...
And even then, back then in the day, I was just like, I hate to say it, I was bored of Lara Croft. And, you know, going back and playing the games and realizing, like, how cool she was to play in PlayStation 2 games. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you get Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider. Like, oh. You're like... Okay.
And me, I was probably like 13 at the time. So I was
eight
like,
or nine. Yeah.
I was like, ooh. See? I like this video game, but now you're making it a movie. But in hindsight, I'm like, the filmmakers really screwed that up.
Yes.
Because
they
were literally focusing more on her body.
Than anything else.
The story and trying to make something great. We move on next to Resident Evil. This is where we get our Paul Anderson entering the video game movie fray. And we get our Mila Jovovich. And we also get what is, in my opinion, an amazing video game franchise that was... changed for the worst.
I agree.
Because the movies changed it.
And you can even argue, and this mm-hmm. is going to be a hot take, you can even argue that the way that the film series has taken off its course, you can argue that that's where the games went doing the exact same thing.
Until 7.
7, where they realized, okay, let's go back to what made us who we are and keep it that way. And I feel like Mila, as much as I love her, she's the reason why that happened. And let's be honest, I was too young to be watching Resident Evil because Resident Evil came out in late 01, early 02, so I was 7 or 8. So watching that, I'm just sitting there, you know,
I'm
scared
like,
as shit.
Well, and then also like, wait, Resident Evil is more action? Then scary because I had played the game.
See, I couldn't play the games because, again, 7 or 8 years
old.
Yeah. But like you were saying, like for the games, you got the scary things that were happening. Like, for instance, one of my favorite scenes out of the original Resident Evil game is, you know, you're walking at the corner of the house and you're just like, okay, I'm about to go look at something. Mm-hmm. And the hound dog comes out the window. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm coming to kill you, right?
Yep. Or the liquor coming through the window.
Right. And you don't really get, I wouldn't say you wouldn't get those moments. You don't have enough of those moments
in the film. They turn it into like
action
set pieces.
Yes.
And it just becomes ridiculous. Moving on, we've got the Tomb Raider sequel. We've already commented on that. Then we get into like the Ooey Bowl. So we've got like House of the Dead.
Hold on. Before we go there, can we take a quick break? Because I feel like I gotta rant hard on House of Dead. Then we'll get to all the other movies.
Oh, man. Because that was one of the games that when I would go to movie theaters as a kid, like House of the Dead, that was like the arcade game that you played. And the fact that they gave this director, and then basically he made his career out of getting movie rights to video games that are very popular and basically destroying them.
That's exactly why I'm gonna save my piece.
Okay.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, I'm going to harp. And I'm going to harp on this movie. So we'll be right back.
All right.
And we're back. Johnny. You know when you go into an arcade. Yep. For those, this is a simpler time. Before even COVID, before like in the early 2000s, there were arcades where you put a quarter, maybe a dollar and 50, and you go play some certain games, right? Yep. And one of those games was House for Dent. When I tell you, my brothers and my cousins, we saved up at least $20 worth of quarters to go play House for Dead, Time Crisis, you know, like games like that, and sit in the arcade in Beaumont in that little mall for hours on end trying to beat the shit out of that game. Like, that was my lifetime.
Yeah, and you would just keep recharging.
Yes.
Because you would die.
You knew you were dying, and you just like, quarters in. Who got the quarters? Put them in. Exactly. Put them in. Let's recycle it. And for them to, excuse my language, to fuck the pooch so bad with that movie.
Such a good property and so beloved. And like, between this and, like you said, Time Crisis.
Yes.
Like, those were the shooter games.
Yes.
And you played them religiously at theaters, arcades, all of that. And it was so amazing.
And you get this movie. And I don't, it doesn't, and we're going to get to this about video game movies and why I feel like where the video game IP is moving to new media and where I like it's going is better than what the fuck is going on now. Mm-hmm. You can't cram games like this down an hour and a half worth of story. Mm-mm. And it's come so convoluted. It's so bad. It reminds me of, what's that terrible movie that's based off a video game as well, with Frankie Muniz? It's a movie. It's going to come to me later down the line. But there's another movie that came out around the same time. It was a PG-13 version of it, where basically you play the game, you die in the game, you die in real life, same exact way. And I felt like with this movie, you decently had a premise. Like, decently. Not arguing that it's bad. Decent.
I mean, it's a zombie movie.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's that's a zombie what it movie. Is. And you destroy it.
You can't make a fucking zombie movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. It's so bad what they did to this.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? So before I continue going on this rant, like, it bothered my soul that literally my cousins and I, We snuck this through our Blockbuster DVD to watch it, and we were so pissed that we watched this movie. Like, I don't have to go over it any more further, but yes, it was a terrible movie.
And then we go on to the first Resident Evil sequel. We won't talk about that
because
we already talked about that. Alone in the Dark. Horrible.
I still can't finish Alone in the Dark. I only watched the first 30 minutes.
But then you have Doom. Which
was it?
I think it's fun.
Right. Wasn't bad. It was fun.
It wasn't very close to the actual game.
At all.
But the fact you had Carl Urban and The Rock in there, like, it made it like a fun action movie. And if it wasn't called Doom,
it would have
just be like,
this is... It would have been a fine B movie. And I was just going to say, me personally, you know, everybody talks about, speaking of which, side film news. Did you know that The Rock is trying to reboot The Scorpion King?
No.
He's trying to reboot The Scorpion King, and him and his ex-wife are going to make a new movie, new IP and everything, and actually try to flesh out his story more. Do I agree with that idea? Definitely not. But
the
reason why I brought it up is because a lot of people talk about, you know, Mummy Returns and Scorpion King were like his two big movies that kind of gave him his silver screen debut and like kind of gave him his career for it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. For me personally, I think this was the movie. I feel like Doom kind of gave you the Rock Johnson that we'll be getting for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
And he learned how to take the reins of a film and make it his own. And like I said,
and you also got to take a character actor like Carl Urban, who is now amazing on The Boys.
Yes.
And you got to see what he can do, and he really flexed. And then he became Dredd,
right?
Which is amazing.
Which we'll get to later. Well, we can't get into it because it's not a video game.
It's not a video game. It's a comic book movie, but it's amazing.
It's an amazing movie. And to your point, I feel like that's what made Doom entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have asked for anything else. Would I wanted another Doom? Hell no. But like The Rock and Carl Urban did enough for me to be like, wow, if this came on, I'd stop to watch this. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I'll be entertained.
Fun cable watching. Then we have Blood Rain, Kristanna Loken, completely forgettable. Then we have Silent Hill, which I think had moments where they did capture parts of the video game. You know, stuff with the nurses and things like that.
Okay.
I like the twist
ending.
The axe head guy.
Oh, Spearhead, yes.
Yes.
So
him. And then, yes, like the Sean Bean husband, like,
yes,
flips the
yes. mission kind of thing.
I think that was really good. But overall, yes, it's not a great movie.
And to your point, again, my aunts and uncles started at this time of my career. Sorry, Mom, I'm spoiling. I'm saying certain things, but you'll be fine. My aunts and uncles started taking us to go see some rated R movies, and we just had to keep it on the hush hush. First rated R movie we took to was to go see Underworld Revolution, I think it was. The second movie.
Yeah.
Underworld Awakening.
Evolution.
Evolution, yeah. There you go. Underworld Evolution. And that was the first one. The second one they took us to was the Silent Hill film. And like you said, it had decent moments, but one thing that bothered me a lot, watching my cousins play Silent Hill and Silent Hill 2, it wasn't scary, really.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things, too, kind of like Resident Evil, where you have this really expansive lore.
Yes.
And you have this world that you just basically need to recreate on cinema, and they didn't do that.
And I feel like...
I think the Ash and stuff was...
It was cool. It was entertaining. Yeah. But like you were saying earlier, and I feel like I'm going to talk about this later down the podcast, is you didn't give... enough lore for me to be entertained by it. Now, granted, you try to retract your steps in Silent Hill 2, which we won't get into, but it still didn't do enough to get me entertained. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to get into, again, I'm prefacing all this to later in the podcast. If they were just to invest a little bit more inside of the lore and what made Silent Hill what it was, I felt like the movies would have been better and more received well than what we had with full films.
Yep. No, agree 100%. Then we had Dead or Alive, which only made 7 million. I don't even remember it. Resident Evil Extinction.
Okay. The only thing about that was Ashanti and Mike Epps was in it. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Postal.
Never seen it.
Hitman.
Can we stop there really quick.
Oh, you got something on Hitman.
It's not the fact that I hate Hitman. Like, Hitman and his game series are very entertaining if you know how to find multiple ways of assassinating people, right? But for you to make it this action blow up kind of Punisher film is what the issue was for me. And it just didn't do enough. Even with what they call the next one, Agent 47, I think it was called Hitman Agent 47.
Yep.
Like, either one, you try to give me, 10 minutes of background, and then it's just literally him just killing people with silencers. Mm-hmm. Where's the creativity? Where's the killing? Where's the... No,
exactly.
Different environments of ways of him eliminating his targets. You didn't give me any of that shit.
No.
And it's, he's carrying somebody from one point to the other. No. Oh, yeah, okay.
It's terrible.
Anyways, yes.
Then we have In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
Oh.
Again, I didn't watch that one.
Okay.
Then we have another Uwe Boll classic, Far Cry, which this is before Far Cry became like a big property.
The big property with Far Cry 3,
Again, horrible. Then you have Max Payne with Marky Mark.
I was going to ask you, and I yet to want to touch that film. What are your thoughts about Max Payne?
I have thoughts. And none of it good. I think it's Marky Mark playing Marky Mark. I think
as usual.
I think this was the beginning of him understanding, like, hey, I can make a buck doing these, like, super cheesy, horrible action movies.
Okay.
And I think ever since, like, I mean, you more recently you have Spencer Confidential. Like, he's learned, like, oh, I can make money doing that. And, like, that's totally the Mark Wahlberg thing. Like, I can make money doing this? What? Oh, that's crazy. And so that's him now. Like, I feel like when his agent calls, he's just like, what? Another action movie? I can make what? Doing that? Oh, cool. And he's just like, sign me up.
And I feel like, and I hate to say it, that's where his career has gotten the closest he's ever gotten.
It's like Liam Neeson and Denzel do those garbage action movies. And I was just talking to you about this, about the big picture.
Yeah.
But them talking about this, and I was just like, no, Marky Mark does it for a paycheck.
Absolutely.
Liam Neeson does it because he's like, this is what I'm good at.
Right.
I'm good at saying that I'm going to kill someone in a certain kind of way.
Same thing with Denzel. Like, he has a suave persona.
Yes. And it started with, like, Training Day.
Yes.
And then you had stuff like Man on Fire and
Equalizer.
The Equalizer movies, where it's just like, oh, Denzel's a badass.
Right.
And he's got that New York accent. And I think Chadwick Boseman did a little bit of that with 21 Bridges. Right,
at the end of his career, yeah.
But, yeah, like, they were like, they took it seriously. Marky Mark's just like, I'm getting paid.
I got the money.
Yeah,
and literally, exactly. Spencer Confidential, let's real quick, Winston Duke felt like he was in a completely different movie than Marky Mark. Mark was in his own movie, and Winston Duke is like, what the hell?
And then we go to The Legend of Chun-Li with Kristen Crook,
yeah.
Which I don't know if you've dug into the HBO Max documentary series, but my girlfriend and I have, and it's disgusting. And the fact that her and Allison Mack were part of that, and Allison Mack was like one of the leaders. Like, it's disgusting. And,
okay.
I will say if you watch it with your girl, like, it's uncomfortable. It's the, like, closest I've come to crying in a movie or TV show in forever. And this was a documentary.
What's the name?
Was it The Vow?
Oh,
and it's about the Nexium cult.
And
it's just disgusting.
Okay.
And so that just, The Legend of Chun-Li made me think of Kristen Crook because she was a part of that. You had Tekken, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Jake Gyllenhaal's like lowest moment, right?
Disney, at this point,
we agree, like, for such an accomplished actor, this was his lowest moment.
I concur, and I feel like Disney at this point, because they did John Carter during this time, they did Prince of Persia, they were just trying to throw things at the wall to see if it stick. And let's be honest,
and that's when they realized the Marvel franchise, like, oh. That's where
the king's at.
I need to stop doing this and keep doing
Let's
that.
Let's just keep doing Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, like, the CGI in Prince of Persia was just terrible. The lore was god-awful. Like, yeah, lowest point of Jake Gyllenhaal's career, but he's getting to come up. He's been in a come-up, so I appreciate that. But, yeah.
After that, we've got two more Resident Evil movies.
That needs to die.
We got a Silent Hill sequel. Then we've got Need for Speed, which I was talking to Brett about this, and I think Need for Speed is a very underrated trash movie.
It is.
Like,
I think it definitely is.
Those racing scenes and, like, some of the stuff there is, I think it's, like, gold.
And with Kid Cudi being your comic relief and with Rami Malek also being your comic relief in different scenes was enough. Like, absolutely enough. Like you said, it's a terrible movie. Don't get me wrong. I feel like Aaron Paul
was at the height of his power.
But the issue for me with Aaron Paul was, like, the director didn't give him enough. He was like, hey, you got four expressions. Run with it. Go throughout the rest of the movie, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, the choreography in the cars were so good. The way that they were drifting that Ford Shelby Mustang.
Were great.
Yes.
I would definitely put it behind something like Rush.
Yes.
Or obviously Ford versus Ferrari. But I still think it's fun.
It was still fun and entertaining.
As hell.
Specifically, like, one of my favorite scenes is when he's running, he's chasing the Ford Mustang out of the cliff, and literally jumps off the cliff and Kid Cudi and Rami Malek picks up the car in the helicopter and just floats off. And I'm like,
it's just stupid.
That's stupid, but I loved it.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it.
Exactly. Then you've got Hitman Agent 47.
Ugh.
Completely forgettable. Then you've got Warcraft, which a lot of money went into.
Not enough money into the story.
No money into the story. And what's sad is the director, Duncan Jones,
yeah,
his previous movie was Moon. And this is, it's just sad that, you know, this was his follow-up. And
that's really sad. Damn.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's the son of David Bowie, so obviously super talented.
And but, you could tell the detailing.
There's moments,
right?
In there.
The detailing in the orcs in that film was really well done, and you know, you could tell that they really done enough that they could in certain moments of the film. Like, granted, the CGI broke in certain parts of it, but in terms of the detail and the characters, and like you trying to, like I said, trying to understand the orcs versus the humans' lore and things of that nature was not bad.
And I didn't know anything about Warcraft. I never played,
right?
But I saw the movie and I was like, I could see potential here.
Yeah. But the problem wasn't, like I said, one of my biggest things with Warcraft was the story wasn't enough for me to be like, okay, let me jump into World of Warcraft, you know? Yeah. And I think that's what one of the biggest downfalls for that film was, including the acting. Let's be honest. The dialogue and the acting was one of the worst parts of the film. But it's not terrible. It's not the worst we've seen.
No. And then after that, you've got Assassin's Creed, which I was really looking forward to. And this is somebody who, like, I played the first two games and I 100% loved them.
Both of them.
And then I found out Michael Fassbender was going to be playing the lead. And then you have Marion Cotillard and Jeremy Irons. And so there's so much, and then Brendan Gleeson, like there's so many
great parts that could have made talent. This better. Right.
And
it just was underwhelming. Underwhelming.
Fell so flat. And then you've got Resident Evil, the final chapter. I mean, we don't. Yep.
Speaking of which, we'll talk about that later towards the end of the podcast. I'll leave that alone.
All right. Then we have Tomb Raider, which
I still haven't fully watched.
You didn't see that with me, Ben, and Jaime?
Mm-mm.
With Alicia Vikander?
Mm-mm. I was not.
I thought it was so much better than Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
I watched bits and pieces of it on Starz one point, and
I do think they did try to pull so much from the game in
the Rise of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, in terms of her, like, always like vocalizing her movements to where she would be like when she would jump in the air, she would just be like, ah,
see,
and so it was just one of those things where, but overall, I love it. I have a Mondo print.
I was just going to say, one of my biggest regrets was not being able, cause I was going through my family thing. Cause something happened in my family. And I was going home that weekend. That's why I didn't go. So, but to your point, the moments that I've seen from, especially the choreography towards the end of it, they do a lot of the video game stuff, but it was still entertaining enough for me to be like, wow, I wish I would have watched the rest of this film.
And I think Alicia Vikander, with what they tried to do with Rise of the Tomb Raider and making Lara Croft more realistic, whereas in the 90s, she was very much so like very overly sexualized.
Yes.
And so making her more realistic. And I thought Alicia Vikander filled that.
Did a really great job of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I obviously, I think she's a wonderful actress. And it's a reason she's won an Oscar.
I concur.
After that, we've got Rampage.
This is when you start realizing that The Rock is doing what Marky Mark is doing, cashing checks. This and Skyscraper, you're like, why? Simply why? And you can tell, like, it was a cash grab, and I hate to say it. Like, Rampage, I never played the arcade that much.
I did as a kid.
See, that was phasing out by the end, by the start that we started really going to arcade games, but I was just like, okay, all right.
Then we get into the meat, We've got Detective Pikachu in 2019 and then Sonic the Hedgehog in 2020, which we've reviewed on the podcast.
Yep.
And we've talked about how impressed we were at where video game movies have come, like how far they've developed, especially with CG type properties.
Right. And granted, we can talk about Paramount's original story sketch, I mean, not story sketch, but the CGI design of Sonic. We can go into that all you want. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, which is really interesting about both Detective Pikachu and Sonic, both of them are really family-friendly games. So that's mm-hmm. I think that's what kind of helped with the appeal of it. But also at the same time, which I guess nobody really understood until 2019, is once you actually get people who enjoy those games and enjoy that art and put attention to detail to this, it's good.
And put real relationships in there.
Yes. And I feel like that's what made Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog really well. Because, again, we can talk about James Marsden in his career without being Cyclops. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go into that. But the way that they made that relationship with him and Sonic, and then a little bit with him and his fiancée/wife, we can talk about those. But it was entertaining enough to keep the relationship going. Yes. Same thing with Detective Pikachu. Justice Smith, depending on how you feel about him, him and Ryan Reynolds' relationship and keeping me entertained throughout the rest of the movie, no matter how much we already knew the story beats, was entertaining enough to keep me going through the story. And I feel like if you're going to do family-friendly video games like Sonic the Hedgehog, and they're doing a Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and we got the Uncharted film coming out soon, you got to give me something to latch on to and be able to be happy with.
I mean, that was what was next was, how do you feel about what's coming up? So we have Monster Hunter, mm-hmm. which is another Paul Anderson and his wife, Mila. Then we have Mortal Kombat, which seems to be more geared towards being more like the game.
Right, they say it's supposed to be casting and very gory with the fighting choreography, which I'm excited for.
Uncharted. Then we've got the Resident Evil reboot, and then we've got the Resident Evil stuff with Netflix, all that stuff.
So
how do you feel going forward? Like, did Detective Pikachu and Sonic, were they the ones that have now steered us in the right direction? Because then you see something like the Monster Hunter trailer, and you're just like, oh, shit, it's more of the same.
So to your point, and I have to use a board game movie for my basis here, Battleship, right? Same concept. I feel like we got there, like what we did with Transformers. We saw the peak. We saw what we could do with it. And then all the other Transformers movies showed you what could be the bar, the lowest of the bar.
Yep.
And so I feel like with Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog, you saw where you could go with video game movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say what I did in my podcast with James and the King Julian podcast, which is, the issue is going to be, if you're going to do a video game movie, again, have people that knows what they're talking about. And if respect you're going to
the original content and then make it fresh.
That, and also at the fact that realize that it's okay to take a chunk out of the movie, I mean, out of the game into a one movie. Like, for instance, Resident Evil, yes, it's a 12-hour game, 8 to 12-hour game, depending on how you played the first Resident Evil game. We do not need every lore that happened. We do not need to see all the characters that are in it. If we're going to go and use, I forgot who they're putting in this film. Is it Chris? No, it's not Chris. Leon. You're going to put Leon in this, and you're going to keep it concise and fair. Well,
and they're doing Chris Redfield.
They're doing Chris too?
Well, yeah, they're doing all of them.
Oh, shit. Okay. So
Chris, Claire, all of them.
Shit. Back to my point. So the issue is, and I feel like this is an issue with a lot of video game movies, and why I think the new medium, which is TV, is doing way better than video game movies now. Castlevania. Exactly. My point is the fact that you understand that we cannot put all the lore, all the great story down an hour and a half to 2 hours, right?
Yep.
if I want to give you something that you're going to chew down on and be able to be like, wow, this is what I wanted, do like what Witcher did. Do like what Castlevania did. Do like
time.
Right, with Dragon's Dogma. I started watching that on Netflix. Really good also, by the way. Mm-hmm. Really good. And they keep the story lore and they flush it out more. If you're going to make it a movie, which again, Mila and her husband doing Monster Hunter, watching that trailer with T.I., please stop. Please stop.
Like, and you gave him such generic, like, lines to say in a trailer.
Like, but they don't, and that's the point. It's just like, and again, I just feel like this is what video game movies are still trying to do is, we will sell you on the name, and you're going to come and watch the movie.
Exactly.
And it's like, sure, we want to watch a Monster Hunter movie, but do we really want to see Mila try to skin up her own weapons to go fight off this big-ass monster? No.
No.
I don't want to see that.
No.
But do I want to see a young Nathan Drake from a lore that we already know about and give me a story about how Nathan learned to be the thief and the Indiana Jones thief that we see him to be?
But then,
absolutely.
But then you think about, I don't know if you ever saw this, the Nathan Fillion short film that was done.
The 30 minutes long? Yes, absolutely. Lang. Yes.
Like, I watched that and I'm just like, where is this?
Thank you.
You have Stephen Lang and Nathan Fillion, and they're like perfect in the roles. And the way
they
like
did banter towards each other, and the way they did like certain things with each other, as that in that short film, just was like, wow, this is the Uncharted movie we want.
Yeah, exactly. Why haven't we gotten this? And then you're like hearing about this Tom Holland thing for forever, and I know he's really excited about it, but at the same time, I'm like, you still kind of look like a kid, man.
And that's why I like the idea that what was been told, not that we really know, what's been told, that this is a younger Drake. This is not before he's up and coming. This is not the one where he's like the ones we see in the video games. Uh-huh. It's like a couple of years prior to that.
Okay.
It's Colin Farrell who's Nathan Drake's protege. He's not in his like beard or anything like that in his physique. So they're thinking that this is an older Uncharted. Again, this is all rumors and speculation because they won't give out anything. But I like that idea. I would be entertained with that. Like, for instance, another movie game that I think would do so well if you do it justice is The Last of Us. Do something.
Well,
like,
that's
you don't have
why
to do,
it's going
to
be a TV show.
Right. And I was going to say, you don't have to do... you don't have to do Joel or Ellie. You don't have to do them. You can do
that world.
Right. Do something in the world where everything was going on during The Last of Us. I would love to see, again, the two brothers that died in the end of the first, middle of the first game, and just seeing their story, how they got to where happened in the beginning of the first game.
It's like a more interesting Walking Dead.
Right. And I'm like, you could, and that's why I was like, I hope Sony does this right. You can do so much to expand the lore. If you just bring it in soft, contained stories. Don't bring out 30 hours of game and expect to make a story out of an hour and a half. You can't. Yeah. And that's why I love Witcher, and that's why I love Castlevania, because they're doing exactly what you expect. Hey, let's flush this out. Let's give Dracula his flushing.
Let's give the story room to breathe.
And I feel like that's why I feel like TV shows are going to do better than the movies. But if you're going to do movies, again, take a bit of the piece, just throw it in there.
Exactly. You don't have to do a full game within a movie.
No. You don't have to. And it's okay. We will love you for it. We will love you if you don't do it. That's why. Just give us a good piece.
Mortal Kombat. Please, Mortal Kombat, be the savior.
Please do.
We believe in you.
Please do.
Just please have somebody say, your soul. It's
mine. And we'll be like, yes, that's what I came here for. That was my $13
That is all we need. But without further ado, I mean, I think that about wraps it up. Yeah. That was a good conversation. That was
really
fun.
Good. I enjoyed that. We have to do this more often.
Yeah.
We say that a lot, but I really like this doing the history of it. We have to do this more often.
Yes, yes.
So really quick before we wrap up. Johnny, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny the Wonder. You can find my Letterboxd reviews and ratings at Johnny Boy Wonder.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at King Julian Owens. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, my Letterboxd will be out there at the turn of the year, so I'll be able to do all of that. Now, I was going to ask you. Yes, finally. I've finally been doing diaries. I've been finally doing my list. So it's like, now it's time to do reviews.
Cool.
So let me ask you this really quick before we go. The only movie that I really am interested in to talk about, if you want to, is Mank.
Oh, yeah.
But the only issue is, are we waiting till it gets on Netflix or are we going to watch it on theaters?
See, that was the thing, is Brett sent me the link to do it on the 19th, but that's my birthday.
Right, you can't do that.
To the parks, but I really want to see it in theaters because Fincher's my guy.
Absolutely. I don't want to watch Fincher movie. Like how I felt with Martin Scorsese, The Irishman, I can't watch any of his films.
Yes.
On TV first. Like, I have to watch it on theater.
I feel like I need to see... I don't care if I need to go on like a day off at like 1 p.m.
to go watch it,
Theaters, based on their like opening schedule, I don't know if that's a realistic possibility. I think right now they're basically all open only Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday, yeah.
And mostly in the evenings, whereas pre-COVID... Like, I totally would have just gone at like
12 in the afternoon.
Yep, exactly. And just made it like, oh, this is my lunch.
So I don't.
But yes, we need to see that. We need to review it. We need to talk about it.
Because I can't wait to see this. Yep. I think Fincher will do a fantastic job. And from what I've heard, it's going to be really good. So we need to watch it.
Yes.
But that wraps about up. Is that all we're going to talk about with video game movies? Or?
That about does it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in to this interesting conversation. Thank you for tuning in with us, guys, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Take care.